This is episode 98 of the Gold Squadron podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by William, a boot three loonies for this poutine, Hagwood.
Yeah. I just wanted to hear you speak Canadian for a bit.
Oh, that's... I was wondering, like, what did you just make me say? Oh, man. That's hilarious. A boot. Okay. And Marcel, Corin is okay, Manzano.
Yeah, he is. He's just all right.
So today we're going to be talking about the Toronto System Open results. We're going to be also talking about the hyperspace trial prizes that were spoiled today by some people in the community. And of course, we need to talk about the Sith Infiltrator. But before we do that, I'm going to keep reminding until we get basically to that end of the line. If you are a patron, please re-up your Patreon. What I mean by that is you need to go to patreon.com/goldsquadron, select the tier you were in before, and then just press yes, confirm your address, and go. That's all you got to do. Make sure to do it. I don't have access to your address if you don't do it. There's a little less than 100 people now. So last time it was like 120 people we had left. Now we have like 97 people who haven't done it. And you know what? The funniest thing is that these are names of people I know. Like there's people like who we actively talk to all the time who haven't done it yet. I don't want to call them out because they're you know, they help us out already. You're like, come on, guys, though. Like, listen, can you please just go click the button? I'm going to start sending personalized emails pretty soon. I just really don't want to send 97 emails, you know what I'm saying? So make sure you do it. It helps us out so that we can get you the stuff. And I got right here. I can't lift it because it's a huge box. I got all the cards except the Frosted Poe. That one's still in the mail. But all the other cards are literally right there. You can't see them, but they're right there and ready to go. I need to shout out our new patrons of the week. Thank you to Shannon, Sean, Brian, Derek, Florent, Devin, H, Sean, Ryan, Katie, Thomas, Matthew, Mark, Enrique, Justin, Stewart, Ranko, Krutonic, and Nicholas. Thank you so much for becoming patrons. You guys are awesome, and welcome to the supporters of Gold Squadron. We're going to go ahead and get straight into our system open talk here. Marcel, where were you this weekend?
He's not here.
Oh, he walked away. Wrecked.
What about you, Dion? Where were you this weekend?
I was trying to like pass it to him so I could stall to get the page up that I was going to look at. Well, Marcel and I were in Canada. We were in Toronto, Canada, to be precise, and we were at the System Open. We were having a good time, and I actually got to play. Will, I got to play X-Wing.
Yeah, and you did well. That's a twofer.
Yeah. So, combined, Marcel and I went 14-5, and no, a majority of those wins don't belong to Marcel Manzano. Actually, 7 of them are mine and 7 of them are his. His were, though, in better spots than mine. So I did get into the top 16. I was one of the top 4s and 2s. Super hyped about that. And before I forget, I need to shout out somebody who who helped me out. I want to make sure I get his name right. So this is how it happened. So I went 4-2 in the actual extended event. I flew 4 Phantoms. I know some people have mixed emotions about that. They're like, Dion, we thought you were wholesome and nice, and you flew this thing. I was like, hey, listen, it was a competitive event. I wanted to fly it. So, but did really well. I went 4-2, and I was one of the 2 top 4s and 2s, and I earned that top 16 medal you see behind me. Oh, other side. Other hand. The top 16 medal you see behind me. I got the templates. Super pumped about that. And then my boy, Marcel, got all the way to the top 4. And Marcel, as you go ahead and just you can go ahead and give your shout outs, stuff like that, I'll start pulling up some things about the system open.
Well, I'm going to start by shouting out my bad memory because I am terrible with names. So I remember all of my opponents. I just don't remember everybody's names. So I apologize for that. But no, it was. Are we going to go into and talk about some of the matches or just
quick shout out? Just start with shout outs and then we'll get into matches here.
All right. Yeah. So as far as shout outs, I just wanted to give, I think, a shout out just to the VTTV for, you know, going up and streaming and the volunteers, all the volunteers that went up to basically commentate. And also just for the judges and everybody that volunteered for judging and doing that. And it's talking about judging. I know that, you know, they're still looking for judges at Adepticon and things like that. So
yes,
people are, if you have a chance to judge, thank you very much. Judge, help. Do what it takes. Register people, whatever it is to help. It's all needed. And I thought the whole crew like did a really good job trying to overcome some technical issues with the app. There was a number of issues with the pairings app, and that's not really their fault. It happened, and I thought they did a really good job of keeping everybody from going crazy about it. It was a little rough the first couple rounds, but you know, they worked it out and at the end of the day, like, it worked.
Yeah, and it was also just really awesome to meet and get to hang out with the players who came out to that event. It was, I get to see a lot of people when I travel to cast, but the reality is that as a caster, I'm pretty much chained to the table that's where it's playing and where I'm broadcasting, and I'm just kind of, I don't want to say stuck, but I'm engaged in that area and not really able to talk with as many people as I would like to. You know, people, I get to like see a lot of people, but I don't get to have a lot of conversations. And having the opportunity to do that with the players who made it to the Toronto System Open was my favorite thing. We met a lot of people. I met a lot of people in person who I have built relationships with online, but actually got to like meet them in person, have a face-to-face talk. It was a good time. Got a ton of swag. I posted a picture on our Facebook of all of I'm not all, but literally most of the stuff we got. We got a couple of shirts, the Millennium Condor, Bruno, if you're familiar with him, he gave us like a ton of stuff that we're going to be giving away on stream here. It's at some of the future events. You got templates, all kinds of things, cards. We got the official cards we're going to be giving away. I mean, we came home with a bounty. Gold Squadron went and got theirs from Canada. We even had to fill out customs forms. I'm just kidding. We didn't have to do that. we came back with a lot of stuff though. Like it was a great trip. And for myself, I'll say that being able to be in that competitive mindset as a player, rather than just a caster, for this event, really helped remind me of a lot of some of the subtleties of the difference between being behind the camera and being on the table. But it was also good to have a good amount of success. Myself, I went in a total of 7-3. At the over the weekend, I was really happy with my performance, and even in those three losses, each of those games, I had a chance to win, and I was really happy with how I did, and I had a lot of fun, including a game I played on stream where it was funny. A lot of people were like, "Wow, he's jousting this list," and that was my only chance to win, guys. but anyway, Marcel, what was your give me like your top three highlights of games that you played over the weekend?
All right, there was just so many of them. Every game was fun. I didn't have a single game that was either not fun or not exciting. Well, I had one game that was unfortunately not fun because my opponent, actually super cool guy, would play against him anytime. But he was flying a Sloan Swarm, and just I'm not a big fan of, you know, like double stress every time you kill something. So that was a stressful match. But yeah, I think the highlights for me was a game that I played against another person who made the top cut, 5-1. And he had Death Rain with Proton Torpedoes and Seismic, Whisper with Seven Sister and Juke, and Vader with stuff. But that was a super fun match, and we went to the wire on that, and that was such an exciting match. Also, there was a couple other really good matches. I think the first match as well, the very first match was fun. I played against Veronica, I think is her name, and she just started playing like 3 months ago, and she completely psyched me out, and she. She was playing Elo, Poe, and Lulo.
Okay.
And she fed me Lulo, and I'm like, oh, hey, she fed me Lulo. And I disengaged with Corrin and threw everything. And next thing you know, Lulo disappeared. And then Poe and Elo were just, they took shields and a couple damage on Corrin before I even took my first shot. And I was able to, like, flip it around and still win it, but. That was fun, but you could say it was fun. It ended up fun, and yeah. I think the one that just sticks to me the most is the final match against Peter. So again, I went 5-1 during Swiss, and do I need to move my mic? By the way,
no, you're good, man.
Okay. Yeah, I went 5-1 during Swiss, and my one loss was against Peter. Peter is the Rebel Swarm that made the final table. And then I also faced him in the top four. And that match, more so than the first one, was just such a fun game. He had a for those of you who don't know what I was flying a Wedge with a Proton Torpedo, Corrin Horn with a bunch of stuff, including a Proton Torpedo, Regen, Corrin, and Cassian Endor with Leia and white coordinate tactical officer. And again, it's like a swarm against kind of an AC list. And I got the perfect engagement. And I didn't do as much damage as I wanted to. So then it got really messy. And after the smoke cleared, when the last 10 minutes were left, there was, we just were having so much fun. At that point, we both had already won Worlds tickets, you know, the invitation to Worlds. So it was just like the pressure felt like the pressure was off. There was no more pressure to try to get that Worlds invite. And yeah, with 10 minutes left, I was up on points with, you know, I had lost the Cassian, but I still had my other two ships not at half. I could run away. And instead of running away, I decided to just like, play the game and roll dice, and I jousted him again, and he actually was surprised when I jousted him. He's like, really? He's like, okay, then let's play. I think he even said thank you. He's like, oh, thank you, let's play. And I still had a chance to win, because during that joust I killed one of his X-wings, but then he threw a Hail Mary between at a four dice, four green dice wedge through behind the rock and everything, and he landed, left me at one hull, and at that point the final turn was just trying to see if Wedge survives a shot, you know, a range three shot from a B-wing, and Wedge did not survive a range three shot from a B-wing, and to pour a little bit of salt on the wound, a unmodded three dice shot against Corrin Horn snapped all three shields from Corrin Horn from downtown.
Yeah.
So that was just like, in case you had any doubt, let me get you half on Corrin as well. So yeah, that. But you know, even losing that match, I feel good that I chose to joust instead of just run away and try to win on points. It's more fun that way. At least for me, it was. And two, just the attitude, like Peter's attitude, and just how friendly he was about the whole thing. it doesn't feel bad when you lose, and it's kind of a fun competitive match. And by the way, I don't think it was a mistake to come in and joust him. Well, he's giving me the eye because, yes, it was probably safer to run away and win on points. But, like, in my head, I had the right math. I had the right math because I killed that X-Wing.
You did.
And then that B-Wing was supposed to die, but I happened to not roll any attack dice. Like, I blanked out twice. So, you know, but, like, mathematically, I still should have. You know, so it wasn't a horrible choice. Maybe it wasn't the safest choice, but it was. I still could have had a chance, but I don't regret it. And one other thing is in the match that I lost, was it Kalen, or who's the guy that went 6-0 in Swiss and got number one spot in Swiss?
That was Colin Pinkerton.
Colin, not Kalen. Sorry, against Colin, the memorable moment was he was beating me. And I did a K-turn with Corrin that left me about a millimeter away from the edge of the board. Just getting that closer. It was closer than I thought. I thought I had like half an inch. But anyway, that just was interesting. And of course, having beers with and a burger. At night, Saturday night, with like, what was it, like 40 or 50 people that were?
Yeah, it was.
That restaurant?
It was a bunch of people.
Yeah, actually, and you came in with the camera. I don't know if you're going to put that footage out at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
I came in with the camera, and Dion got like a standing ovation by like 50 of us X-Wing nerds. And he's like a celebrity over here walking in. And all of the staff is like, who is this guy? Like, why is everyone giving this man a standing ovation? Like, giving them the slow clap.
They weren't giving me a standing ovation. I had a camera out, and I was like, hey, everybody. And then they were like, woo! It was a reaction to a cue. It wasn't unsolicited.
It was a standing ovation. You've got the video footage. Let that... show.
Maybe if we have time at the end of the podcast, I'll pull it up and we can show it live. Yeah, for myself, so again, I went in the main event. I ended up going 4-2. My two losses, I'll talk about the one on stream because that was the second one. That was the one that knocked me out. Was really exciting, and you can watch it still if you go to VTTV's Twitch channel. It is currently still in their archive. You can take a look there. And it was a really tough match. It was versus two Upsilon shuttles and quick draw, having that Dormitz and being able to just get in your face in range one. And I'm going to give a big shout out to two people who really helped me have an opportunity to win that match, and that's Marcel and Brandon Proko. So Marcel gave Brandon some advice on building out that list, and then Brandon's been practicing it. And then last week before Toronto, I actually got to play with Brandon a couple times and talk about his list, about some strategies against and some things. And like without that practice, I would have had no idea how to approach that game. And it was a really good experience, and as soon as I saw the matchup, I was like, yeah, thank you, Brandon. So, Brandon, thanks for giving me a shot there. Marcel, thank you for talking. I guess, being you giving him the list, you know, started the whole train. So, thank you there. But it was a really exciting match, and if you go back and listen to some of the commentary, they were confused by some of my decisions, but a lot of it came down to me kind of hedging multiple decisions to have, like, if quick draw does X, I need to make sure I have an arc there, but if I don't, it's okay because I'll still shoot one of the shuttles, because the shuttles were always going to be an arc, and I was always going to have to take some shots and take some risks in order to have an opportunity to win the game. And I'm actually going to do a breakdown of that game in the future and talk about why I made some of the decisions, but that's for a later date. But yeah, had a great time, and am super super happy with how the whole thing went. Had an awesome time. It was good to play. Like I don't know what to say. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of the lists here in that made the top cut. So it was 14 people who made day two, going 5-1. We'll just kind of do a quick scroll here, looking at factions. So, Colin Pinkerton with some rebels.
Are we going to talk about any of these, or?
Let's go ahead and just do a quick overview, and we can revisit some of them. Okay. All right. So, first place, Colin Pinkerton, rebels. That's Luke Wedge Dutch. Second place, Mark DeBruin with Vader and triple MDAR test pilots. Those are the Initiative 3 Phantoms. Ryan Ferguson with some Rebels. Ablazoned with Resistance. Kevin Liu with some Resistance. Kaelin Wong with a Rebel Swarm. Paul LaRue, yes, the artist Paul LaRue, with some Special Forces. Some First Order Aces here, including Kylo. Kylo made the cut. Christian with some more quick draw and some jank there. Marcel Manzano, some scrub, you know, with Wedge, Corrin, Cassian. Stephen Kim, that is Rathios of Yasby 2.0, if you're not familiar, with Lulo, Ninub, Poe. He was my single loss in hyperspace. Knocked me out in a really tight game there. Andy Powers in the 11th place with Wedge, Biggs, Magva, and a Red Squadron. Then Ryan D with Quad Phantoms with the crack shot. In 13th, Peter Rose with Zeb, and in the coordinating shuttle, the Sheathipede, with two X-Wings and two B-Wings. That's the finalist and Marcel's nemesis in in Canada. The one who his two losses came from, same guy. And then lastly, Andrew Durham in 14th place with Vader, Whisper, and Death Rain. So, Will, for you, looking at this list, kind of just doing that quick overview, what are some things that kind of stick out to you?
I'm actually surprised by the couple First Order lists, to be honest with you. The Tavinson, Quickdraw, and then two good foes. That makes sense to me. I've seen something similar to that. I did not expect the Kylo Quickdraw null. I especially didn't expect a non-supernatural Kylo to be able to make cut. Do you think Paul LaRue was using his own Kylo Ren and Quickdraw cards when he was playing?
I mean, missed opportunity if he didn't, right?
He's just out there casually sketching some null alt art while he's playing, I'm sure. But that surprises me. I would have called it, like, my over under would have been like under one First Order list making the cut. I think the other thing is that sticks out to me, and I'm just double checking here, the only large base was the Upsilon?
Correct.
That's interesting. A couple medium bases, not too medium, too many medium bases either. Just what, U-Wings?
Yeah, just
U-Wings. Nora. There's an Ark in there.
Death Rain too.
Okay. So Punisher, Ark, and U-Wing were the only medium bases. That's interesting to me. Except for the couple Rebel Swarms, mostly high pilot skill, small base aces, which I guess isn't that surprising.
For me, you know, kind of taking a look here, I was surprised to see Vader Pilot make an appearance here a couple times. I know Brett Freeman, my the guy who gave me the good news, saying, "Dion, you got top 16." I was like, "Wait, what? What do you mean I got top 16?" He was 15th. Just outside the cut was Flying Vader. Andrew Durham, 14th, had Vader with Hate and Fire Control System. There was another Vader in there. In second, person who came in second in Swiss, Mark DeBrun, Vader, Hate, and Fire Control System. Vader is a ship that we hadn't seen for a while. And it's interesting how the points of Supernatural going way up, that's not even an option anymore, essentially. And people have found, or these players have found a way to utilize Vader and take advantage of that upgrade, Hate, and say, hey, he's still efficient enough as is. He has the Force, his ability. Vader's still good.
I'm surprised that neither one of those builds have afterburners on them.
Yeah, I played against a Vader with afterburners. And honestly, what ended up happening, I ended up winning this match. It was my last match of Swiss in the System Open, is that he never really had an opportunity to use it. That's one thing that happened in the game. Like, it just didn't happen. So maybe it's the quote-unquote wrong choice, especially if he's constantly engaged. If you don't get the chance to use it, you don't get the chance to use it. You know what I mean? People are asking how many people got Worlds invites. So total people who got Worlds invite over the weekend would be 15. For the System Open, the extended event, 14 people did.
Nine.
Say that again?
He's saying how many people got Worlds
invites? Oh, sorry. Worlds invites. Sorry. Nine. So if you made top eight and then the hyperspace winner. Excuse me. Sorry. I was thinking crazy thoughts there.
Also, you know, before you're bouncing around those lists, just wanted to point out, like, the number one list, the Colin one, that went 6-0. Tough list to play against. It's scary when you line up once you break it down and see what it actually does. But that is a hyperspace legal list. So the number one in extended list, that you can see the MOV there, 6 wins with 1750, plowing through people until he met me. Anyway, that's a hyperspace legal list there. There's nothing on there that you can't use in hyperspace.
So. Yeah, Marcel, you brought up a good point. Just want to, they have the hyperspace qualifier up as well. And it looked like 5 ion cannon turret gray squadron bombers, 4 of them with veteran turret gunner, got the undefeated win in the hyperspace qualifier.
I'm going to say, I saw in the extended, one list that I saw all over the place was the 3 Skurks with Drea and veteran turret gunner and dorsal turret. That was all over the place. I didn't have an opportunity to play it. I played against a variation on it with Nim, Cavil, and Sol Sixa. But, man, that's another scary list. But that type of just, like, raw dice, just trying to chuck as many dice and see what happens. It was interesting to see that none of them made the cut. But then you get into the hyperspace trial, and that guy sure did.
Well, he's bringing ion cannons, though, which I think have a huge advantage over dorsals.
Yeah, I mean, ionizing people is good.
Well, I mean, that's also a third dice, though, too. And I mean, because the first damage still hits for, like, regular damage, right? So,
yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, and just something to note, you know, as you're talking about some of the things that you saw. First of all, somebody asked if I'm going to Iowa. I'm going to try to make it to Iowa trial. William will as well. I don't know about Dion. But
it's the weekend before Adepticon, Dion.
Yeah, it's a good practice for Adepticon. So maybe, you know, go ahead and make the Iowa trial. But one thing that I noticed is there was no MG-100s in the entire field that I saw. Not a single
The Star Fortress
bomber. Yeah. Not a single resistance bomber.
I think
there was a couple
that I saw. That I saw.
Yeah, there was a couple of them, but there was not nearly as many as I thought there was going to be.
They're so cheap and so. I mean, yeah. I thought somebody would.
I thought I saw a Vinny near the top, just outside of the cut, but now I'm having trouble finding it. There's like a Vinny and a bunch of A-wings.
Yeah, I mean, Vinny is good. But yeah, I didn't see. I saw a lot of resistance. I played 2 or 3 resistance, and they all basically were the same type of resistance, which is Poe, Lulo, and then other stuff to fill it in. But Poe and Lulo are kind of like the staples right now for resistance.
Yeah, that was. Plays 39th. He was the best person with 3 wins. Looking right at it. Vinny's V-E-N. Yep, I couldn't find it with V-I-N either. I was in the seat. I'm right there with you. Well, but he was the best. Look at that MOV, though. For 3 wins? Amazing.
That is pretty good MOV for 3 wins. I'd rather have the worst MOV with 5 wins.
That's fair. That's fair.
Once we had finished playing, and Marcel and I had both gotten our awesome medals and our awesome templates, I text Will and was like, Will, you got to get these so that we all can have these templates and these medals. And he's like, yeah, okay. You were like kind of like no pressure, right?
Yeah, no pressure at all. Jeez.
But see, wrapped in that is the easiest joke in the world, and that is like, hey, Dion, do you have a world's invite? And me being like, no. Hey, Marcel, do you have a world's invite? Yeah. Will, do you have a world's invite? Yeah. You see? Like, it's right there. So we'll see where this ends up going. It's a saga of, hey, where's yours? But hopefully I can get mine in, like, a hyperspace trial or something like that. There's still lots of chances.
We'll see. Here's the difference, Dion. You're getting jaded now because you're still allowed to go to Worlds. You're the few people that's like still invited to Worlds.
Truth.
And can bring a bunch of laptops and stuff.
Carry my camera. This is my Worlds ticket.
Yeah, come on now.
Actually, I do have a question. I don't know if they brought it up in any of the rules.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but what happens somebody that goes to multiple system opens or wins multiple trials? Not so much with the multiple trials, because the world's emma would just go to second place.
No, trials it's only the undefeated people. So if you're
the winner only. You're talking about qualifiers is only on the
field. Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Trials is like a regional, and only the people who win regional. But what happens if, like, for example, we went to Toronto, and now we go to Adepticon, and maybe go to Atlanta. And what happens if you make the top 8 all 3 times? Can you give that pass to somebody else?
I think in system opens,
you cannot.
They're hard. It's only going to be the top 8 ever.
I know.
And in qualifiers, no, it won't go to the 9th player. If I remember correctly from last year, it did not go to the 9th player.
Nope.
Because a couple of people had multiple ones. But in the trials, which is like a regional, I would assume it would.
It's like store championship. The regional buy goes to the second place.
Well, it's it's not a store championship though. It's new and different. But I think you'd be able to, even if it's against the rules, you'd be able to get away with it more, quote unquote. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're at the hyperspace trial, the only thing you are playing for is, I guess, the trophy and the world's ticket, right? So you could just be like, at the table, like, hey, you want to play this game? You get the world's ticket, and we just play to see who gets the trophy? Yeah, let's do it. Like, nobody's going to stop you from doing that. Or most TOs won't stop you from doing that. But as for the system open, some people might say, look, why would people want to make multiple top 8s? Well, here's the thing. the winner gets a free all expense paid trip to World. So yes, it's in, you know, Roseville, Minnesota, very, very exotic and special, but getting a free plane ticket and a hotel has value. You don't have to pay for it. It's on somebody else's dime.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And I'll throw another one on there, which is, this is X-Wing, and it's a game. And
yes,
people who play X-Wing likes playing the game. And then I'm going to go back and quote a very sophisticated and brilliant mind of a old White Sox coach who used to say, fun is winning and winning is fun. So if you can knock out 3 or 4 hyperspace top eights, do it.
There you go. You
know, get greedy. Yeah. Or if you can win 2 Adepticons in a row, well, do it.
Or 3.
3. Hey. No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure. No pressure.
Hey, Paul Heber was able to do it at Worlds, okay? So if he can do it at Worlds, you can do it at Adepticon.
Yeah, it's easy.
It's easy. Yeah. Yeah. Let's not get into that.
He's already a little triggered.
No.
Oh god.
I don't know, because I mean, we all know it was pure luck at the very end. So we'll see. We'll see if the die rolls are in my favor.
Just be lucky again.
There you go. See, just be lucky.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Will, as someone who wasn't at the event, but someone who was kind of paying attention from afar, what were some of the perceptions, some of the things that you noticed, saw about the event that you're curious about?
I'm interested in what was wrong, with the pairings. First of all, what pairing app were you guys using?
So we were using Best Coast Pairings.
Okay, the standard pairings of the Open now. Mm-hmm. What went wrong? Well, was it just lag or what?
So, well, it's new, right? So there's going to be user error for sure, and there was plenty of that. But there is an issue, at this weekend there was an issue where the Android version of the app and the Apple version of the app were basically set up a little bit different when you were entering your scores, and the Android version was like reversing the scores. You essentially, like, the scores ended up being, so let's say you and I were playing, Will, and you beat me 200-0, and it says Will's score, you put in 200, and then Dion's score 0. You would hit submit, but it would show up as I destroyed 200 of Will's points and Will destroyed 0 of mine. Like, the scores were like reversed, essentially.
Oh, okay.
And then the iPhone version, it was fine. I was on the iPhone. I didn't have that issue, but there were other players who were having the issue, which is a problem. And I will tell you that the TOs there and Cascade Games were on Best Coast Pairings the whole time, saying, this is wrong, can you fix it? This is wrong, you can fix it. So I know that Best Coast Pairings went home with a ton of feedback, and I am almost certain, and I would hope, that they have some work to do between now and the next Open.
They got a lot of weight on their shoulders, but if anyone's going to be able to do it, I think it's those Best Coast guys. My other question was about the prize wall. Can you give us some information on, how many tickets did you guys get? Did you get the thing off the prize wall that you wanted? Was there something really elusive on the prize wall you couldn't get?
How many tickets did I get? I got 7 wins. Was it?
So, yeah, so you
7
got
wins, that's 2, that's 14.
14.
2 losses, so I got 16. And the points, the way they were set up, I wanted the spot gloss ones. They're not spot gloss. What are they? The clear ones? Like the plastic clear cards?
Yep.
And those were 8 points each, or 8 tickets each. So I had 16. I had just enough to get 2 of them. So I got me Quick Draw and Gurry see-through plastic cards. Those things are amazing. Even though I think I want to put a white sticker behind them, because when you put them against certain surfaces, you can't really see them. But I guess the white surface, they look really good. But there's they had a total of six of those. So yeah, there's Chewbacca and Quick Draw. Those things look really, they're really nice.
And by the way, patrons, we got some of these, not these exactly ones, but I'm super excited to get our pose because this is very similar to what we're getting. I think ours is a little cooler, but whatever, you know what I'm saying? we'll see when we get them in person. But yeah, so I have obtained a full set of these now. Okay. I have every single one. And I've already given away a Quick Draw. I was able to get another one. And these are part of our patron giveaways for our premier level event streams. So make sure you tune in for those. But yeah, we'll leave that alone. Other things on the prize wall, there were the charge tokens that you got for being in the top 32. You could have gotten those. Those were a bunch of tickets. It was like 12, I think, to get the baggie. If you wanted more, so they were there. If you can see their reversed little droid, red and yellow sided, had those. And
what are those things? I got them, but I'm
they're,
not
they're
sure
charged. They're charge before. Tokens.
Charge? Oh, they look like astromechs.
Well, they are astromechs, but they're meant to be.
There are 2D2 tokens. Oh, they're regen. Oh, so that means I got to take more regen.
Yeah, all the regen.
Yeah, okay. There's some other stuff here I'm leaning over the table. So there's the Zeta Squadron Survivor, and the other side, the Cobalt. These were only one ticket each. I got a few of these to put in part of the giveaways. They also had copies of the second edition titles that you could get. I got a couple of the Slave Ones to add to our vault of prizes. So that's fun. And then for being a part of the event, we had the extended full art S foils, which, by the way, this gives me a perfect opportunity to talk about this. I was talking to a bunch of players. I have decided that I absolutely hate the design of these flip carts. I do not like that you have to flip them sideways. I wish that they flipped this way. Because every time I went to go grab a card, right? So the way that these are meant to be put in your ship, right? You put it in the side. You know,
the left side.
Yeah, normally the left side. These are designed to be on the right side. But like, it was just, so assuming that it's on the left side, I just found it way easier to like grab and flip, you know, do the single wrist motion rather than like grab and flip and reposition and put back in. Maybe I'm just too complicated, but I really like this motion. I understand that you have to print it in reverse on one side, so one side's upside down, so that works. But I think it's worth the sacrifice. And I'm thinking about getting some S foils made where this is the way they flip. And flipping cards will be this way.
Actually, I'm a big fan of the U-Wing is, I love the U-Wing, actually, since I was flying the U-Wing, because I'd never even touched that S-foil. There was no need to. The U-Wing is so easy to open, close, that you really don't need the card. It's right. Visible. It's like, I'm going to open it. And the X-Wing's a little bit tougher because it's a small ship. But I think that it would be really great to receive I don't really care about that. You flip it this way or that way. I think it would be really great to receive the tokens. Are you making me? What are you doing?
This is what FFG wants you to do. They want you to do these really weird circles. Look at how easy this is. Look at this. Oh, it's so nice. Look at that.
Am I drinking or are you drinking? Oh, my God. Anyway, I would love for them to give the tokens, like the open or closed tokens. So I think that would be better. I saw people bring in like a little, I don't know where they got the acrylics, but little acrylic tokens with that. Mm-hmm. As foils open, as foils closed. So I think that's a little bit easier to track than a card. Because one, the card is, it's on your hand or it's off to the side. Yep. So it's somewhere where it's not clearly visible, where it's on the table, it's clearly visible. Whether it's open or closed. So I really want to put that, you know, it's better to have it on the card, like there were situations even where on the game on stream, I think it's Christian, the top to make the top eight,
mm-hmm.
Where I moved my wedge, and I forgot to open my foils, and I rolled two dice. He's like, "Why are you rolling two dice? Like you don't even, it's not on the table, so you're not even paying attention." So I think it's important to have those visible on the table. Anyway,
it's supposed to be your wing model, man. Why don't you flap in your wing models?
You know how I broke my wing model trying to flap that.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
The old ones don't flap.
Yeah, I think I've decided actually, while it's neat that the second edition X-Wing wings move and they look cool when they're closed, I don't like to play with them. I like to play with the solid ones. I don't know, because I usually pick up my models from the ship, like from the actual ship models.
Oh, so you're getting the dab lean then, where both wings are up on the left and both wings are down on the right. Yeah, yep. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep, the dab.
Yeah, that's what the X-Wing's doing. Just dab it around out there.
But so our overall consensus, we had a great time in Canada. We got a bunch of prizes, really cool lists. And I know that we didn't go too far into depth here. We are going to put a link to the Link Fortress, to the List Fortress entry. So you can look at the list because there's a ton of them. And, you know, if you want us to break that down, we can go ahead and do that in more in depth later. We got a ton of things to go through today. So let's go ahead and pull up the notes again. I have all the things open right now. Where'd you go? I lost our notes, boys. They're gone. They're gone forever.
Gone forever.
Gone forever. There it is. All right. So next we're going to talk about those sweet, sweet prizes. But before we do that, we do need to take a second to talk about some of our live streams that we do. If you're not aware, this upcoming weekend, we are going to be streaming from Crate Cup. We're going to be streaming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, a little bit of, not warning, but just heads up. On Friday, myself and Will be participating in the Top 50 Invitational. So I'll be playing, but I'm going to have some help on the ground floor there. And don't worry, those of you who are watching, and maybe you like crates, wait, you're getting help at the Crate Cup, you know, whoa, I don't want that kind of experience. The people who are going to be helping me have very strict instructions, and they understand they are planning to present in a very professional manner because I said so, essentially. We want to make sure to keep it keep the Gold Squadron standard, even if I'm not behind the mic, and just make sure that we're getting the information out there and having a good time while not, you know, disrespecting people and all that
just,
stuff.
Just call it. You're not going to curse. You're not going to curse, and you're not going to, or not you, but
you,
yeah.
You've been elusive about who's doing it. Is it a surprise, a secret?
Well, I have a couple of different people, and I don't want to say names and like promise things that don't happen.
Okay, that's fair. That's
you know
fair.
What I mean? So, I'm pretty sure I got it. But anyway, keeping it safe. You know what I mean?
Sure. I understand now. I thought it was like a big surprise or something. Had a celebrity come in. I don't know.
Mark Hamill on the Ghost
Card. Oh, that'd be amazing. I would not play in the top 50. I tell you that.
Like, Dion, I'm gonna drop the commentate. So you're going to be doing that. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I will be behind the mic doing full commentary for the team event. There's quite a few number of rounds, but super excited for that. We're going to be streaming all day and part of the day on Sunday, and then get back home hopefully on time for Sunday. But tomorrow night is league night, and for those of you who are in the Chicagoland area, if you don't know, we play at Pastimes Comics and Games, and Pastimes is moving, okay? So next week is actually our last week in the current space where Gold Squadron was born. We're moving on to a new space. We're actually not that far away, but so if you're local, make sure you if you're not sure where it's moving to, hit me up. I'll help you out so that you know where you're going. Gold Squadron Paincast, if you haven't been catching that, Mondays and Thursdays. We had some technical difficulties yesterday with Luke's computer basically saying, I'm going to forget all the settings that you put in me. And that was an ordeal. But he should be back up and running by Thursday. No issues there. And again, we did say Crate Cup is this weekend. So make sure you tune in Friday. Yes, Friday. So while you're at work, listen, while you're at work, for you guys, remember, I stream not only to Twitch, but also to YouTube. You want to put that screen in the corner of your computer screen at work, and we'll hang out all day. All right? I got you back. Give me some gumboats in the chat if you're going to watch from work secretly. Let me know. And we're going to be giving away one of these beautiful ships. I'm not sure which one it is. Not sure. We'll talk more about that later. But let's get into the Hyperspace Trial prizes. They revealed some stuff for us. They showed us, I forgot who was the first person. I mean, these pictures are being circulated all over the internet. But we got some prizes. So, Will, tell me about some of the prizes that we got going.
Oh, man, what you're looking at right there is a Last Jedi binder for your cards. I assume, as there's only one size of card, that's probably a 9. 9 cards, maybe 6. It's hard to see the scale on them. Or wait, go back to the other slide. I guess we can see the scale against regular things. Oh, yeah, that's a 9 card binder.
Oh, some people are saying that it's 2x2. Because, yeah, look, next to the trophy, those trophies aren't that big.
No, it's sitting right next to a range 1. Range 1 is about the size of a card, so they are correct there. My eyes deceived me. I gotta use it by pure feel to know that range 1, but yeah, so 2x2, which is fine, but it'll take up all the second edition cards because they're all the same size now. Who would have thought that would be convenient? But I like that art on there. We got some clear and blue range rulers.
Minock range rulers. Wait, what? I'm just kidding. If you, the Minock open, that blue is like the same, and it's funny because these prizes are made like way in advance, like literally like years in advance. So
Wade said April of last year, so over almost a year ago.
There you go.
There. The templates in that same. I think this is similar to the world's design that has no numbers, just the 1, 2, 3 little symbols on it, but also it's clear and blue. I think this is the trophy. You got a Hera trophy and the ghost. This is Jespava and Inquisitor cards. I assume these are the participation prizes. Looks like there's a muted full art on the back of them.
I got to do a timeout right here. I'm going to tell you. I do not like that Jespava art. If you want cooler Jespava art, listen, we got Jespava art, and we're actually releasing it. It's in the next wave of our stuff, Jespava being re-released for second edition. So if you want my opinion, which I will give because that's my job, I think mine's cooler, so... I don't like that one. The Inquisitor one, which was from Worlds a couple years ago, just now re-released for second edition. I love that art. Oh, it's so good.
I remember. Good. I remember that.
It's so good.
I like
so
it. Exciting. I don't know about the. Why is the backside muted? I don't understand. Because it's not grayscale. Because you can still see the orange in Jespava's suit.
Right.
So I don't understand. What's your thoughts on the back of that?
Yeah. We do full art cards for our top level patrons. We do the art on the other side, and I would prefer it just to be the regular art just because I think it looks cooler. But some people are saying muted because they're dead. Like you flip it when the pilot dies. I mean, I guess.
Oh.
But you don't, when you play, you don't flip the.
They're all covered in a bunch of cards.
Yeah. All right, Will, go ahead. You know you want to talk about it.
Ooh, look at those black dice.
They're not black.
Well, we'll call them very dark grayscale dice.
And they're not dice. They're Ziploc bag fodder.
Oh, okay. but yeah, these are interesting for the audio listeners. They are a dark charcoal with the defense dice being green inlaid, like painted with the evade symbols, and the attack dice are red painted. I have mixed opinions on these because I can't tell which is which, but I still like the idea of the design, though.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think,
you know, I like them. Oh, sorry, you go first.
So, like, all right, let's do a dice ranking. Let's do some dice ranking, okay? So, just like regional level dice. We're not going to worry about worlds. So, okay. Which, by the way, as part of our prize vault, I'm going to be giving away some regional dice, by the way. That's happening. So, let me go ahead and reach into my
I'm going to say right now, the sparkly ones, lowest on my bottom for sure.
Yeah,
do not like them.
So many of them. I don't know why I ended up with so many of those.
Just because nobody wanted them.
So here,
the clear sparkles.
So here's you guys dislike these the most.
Yeah, the clear sparkles. Not a fan.
Okay, so we had those. That was from 2 years ago. Then last year were these. Kind of muted, but also had sparkles in it, with the red being more kind of orange.
I don't mind those.
Those were okay. I mean, those kind of look a little bit like the Marvel Worlds ones that had the gray infused in them. But...
And then, where'd those go? They're somewhere on the shelf. Then there was the, I think the very, one of the first sets was, they were this translucent plastic like the sparkles, but without the sparkles in it. There was the clear ones. There's the white dice, which for me, I do not like the white dice. Not because they're hard to stream. Well, that's one reason. But honestly, I personally have a hard time reading those dice. Something about it, I'm looking at them and it just takes me a long time to process the symbols on those dice for whatever reason.
I'm gonna fully agree. They're my second bottom.
Yeah, like I would rather play against a spark. I mean, I played with the sparkles for a long time, but yeah. Let's see how are they doing. Let me do a little roll here. Yeah, still bad. Go away. I'm just kidding. It was an average roll. Yeah, talking about the white dice. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the white dice. But I think, what other regional level dice were there? Is that it?
Because they redid a few of them.
Clear sparkles.
Marble.
Watermelon.
Marble.
Is what they're calling.
Watermelon. White dice. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Four?
Wait, there was clear and white?
Sorry, I guess I said them both.
Clear is like the sparkles without sparkles.
Yeah, there was the sparkles without this. I have some fake ones of those.
It's okay.
Somebody gave them to me and told me they were real, and I found out they were fake because they didn't have bubbles. Anyway,
I'm putting the watermelon ones, which is what I call the off red.
Okay.
From I think last year.
Yeah, last year's watermelons.
I think those are on my top.
Okay.
Think I would put these black ones right underneath of it.
Nice.
What about you?
Go ahead, Marcel.
Sure. You know, I'm not gonna rank the white ones or the clear ones because those were before I ever started playing, so I never had a chance to even try to win one. So I don't have any of those. Well, I do have clear ones, I think, because I traded for a couple of those. I don't have any of the white ones. So I like, and of course, the world ones are just boss. I love them. And I feel bad that I sold all of the gold and silver ones. Didn't keep a single one. I wish I would have kept one.
So to keep in your to keep in your Ziploc bag.
Yeah, yeah, it would add a little color. And so the person in Poland who I sold it to, if you want to send one back, maybe I'll buy it back. Now, I would actually, I love the way these look if you're just using this. But again, the way that I like to put my dice, and I'm not the only one that does that. I know, like, Idy, for example, Nathan Idy, he does the same thing. He doesn't have a Ziploc bag, but he basically just throws, like, 50 dice on a corner somewhere, and he just grabs from it, right?
Yep.
So what I don't like about these is that they don't stand out. So when I'm reaching into the bag to pull the, you know, a mixed bag out, I'm not going to be able to tell because they're just going to look black or they're just going to look like charcoal gray or whatever. And I'm going to have to pull it out and try to see, okay, what color is this?
Is it like, is it an attack dice or is it a defense dice? Yeah, I know what
you mean. Yeah, so it's just going to make it a little easier. So for those people who actually have like multiple versions of dice and they don't, don't do that because I mean some people might have like different.
This is this is some serious like first world problems, dude. When you're like, I got so many cool dice in my bag, I had to sort through them before I roll them out.
But it's true. I mean, there's plenty.
I just stated it's true. It's just the first world problems.
Anyway, so I like them. I just have a hard time taking how they'll be in the bag because they're gonna
the chat is QQing for you. They're QQing for you for sure. Poor Marcel.
God. Yeah, that's well, it looks like a bunch of emojis of the very tiny violins. Is that what they are?
Yeah, I mean I get what you're saying though. So maybe you now need two Ziploc bags. Mm-hmm. And you keep your defense dice together, and then you're on at the attack dice. I don't know.
Kayla, my girlfriend, actually, what we were talking about, shout outs.
Marcel's got a girlfriend.
Yeah, no, but I was saying it was she already told me that she's keeping those.
If you get them.
The great dice.
They're mine. They're in the background if you didn't hear. They're mine. Alrighty. Somebody in the chat, Marcel says, I will trade you a Ziploc bag for those sparkle dice you don't like. Fantastic. So yeah, really cool prizes come in there. And if I'm not mistaken, that now it's a wider range of people who get the dice, right?
I don't think we have the numbers of how many is in
the kit. No, we do. 16.
Top 16.
Yeah, so it's 16, and then there's a bunch of these coming around, and it's a double, you know, there's two seasons of, you know, trials. So we were just, I was actually, right before the cast started, looking through, like, the ones that we might hit that's here local to Chicago. And I saw, you know, there's in Michigan, Illinois, there's two in Indiana, two in Wisconsin, one in Iowa. So there's plenty to pick from. And then I looked at Minnesota, there's four of them within, like, 15 minutes of Minneapolis. So if you live in Minnesota or if you live in Minneapolis, they're going to give out a total of 64 of these dice in the same city. So yeah.
Go get yours or get your collection, right? Just get a whole bag of just these. They have an aesthetic that I do like quite a bit, but We'll see what happens. We'll see how many of these we can actually get out to. All right, guys. It's time to talk about the preview that FFG dropped on us, and that is the Sith Infiltrator. We've seen Darth Maul already, so we're not going to spend too much time on him. We'll just use him for the baseline stats for the Sith Infiltrator. Sith Infiltrator is a large base ship. 3 attack dice, 1 agility, 6 hull, 4 shields, and has the actions focus, target lock, which are both white, and a red barrel roll. Let's go ahead and start with the title card, which was revealed in the article. Marcel, go ahead and take it.
Sure. Setup. After the place forces step, you make cloak. And it's got a red cloak in it. So I'm guessing that you start off Well, you actually, I think you start off without a stress, right? It's just you make cloak, not a cloak action.
Correct.
After you decloak, you may choose an enemy ship in your bullseye. If you do, it gains one jam token. So basically, it's taking this big ship and converting it into a 10 health, 3 agility ship until you get it to exactly where you need it to be for that alpha strike or for that. And if you come in right at the right time, you're going to come in with a big ship that has, especially if you go with one of those that has the force, target lock, focus, and you're going to jam somebody and you're really just going to obliterate something with this thing. Oh, God, this is terrible. I hate this. Well, unless I'm flying it, then I love it.
This scimitar feels very much like the Punishing One title for the Jumpmaster, that it completely flips the ship and changes it almost into something different.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just because this is the only way it's going to get cloak or jam. So yep. It's like... this scimitar feels like such a powerful upgrade.
Yeah, this is gonna have to be similar to like the Moldy Crow title where it's like
over under.
You go first.
I'm gonna set the line, and people in the chat feel free. Over under, we'll set it at 16.5 points.
Under.
Yeah, under.
I was thinking closer to like 12.
Maybe
because they're going to want to, honestly, FFG and kind of like if you look at back historically at FFG, they purposely put out cards undercosted that are in new expansions because they want people to buy those expansions. And then they're like, oh, those things are too good. Sorry, you bought 6 of them. Now we're going to. Now we're going to. Some of I'm hating on Jump Masters, okay? I still want my Jump Masters back.
People are saying, looks like a resounding under. Maybe that's where the cost should be. But we'll find out. We'll find out.
Maybe we could do a... let's do the over... I'll set it for you, Dion.
Go for
if
it.
The over-under was at 9.
See, I wasn't even thinking how Marcel was thinking. Probably under.
Still under? So I think everyone's mostly agreeing that this is a 7 or 8 point upgrade.
No, man. I'm actually thinking it's going to be like a 12 pointer.
I mean, cloak is pretty good. Especially when we... Well, why don't we press on and go to the guy who actually does the cloaking things. And then we can see how outrageous it really gets.
All right, we're going to
No, wait, let's just say it's not just a cloak. It's a cloak and a jam, plus it's a repeating ability of every time you decloak, you jam free. So it's a decloak and a free jam action.
But it's in your bullseye, and they've heavily discounted things that are in bullseye.
True, but it's not at the start of combat, and it's not at the start of activation. It is when you decloak. So you can basically, even if you're initiative 5, you're decloaking during the system phase. So you'll know, they can move out of the way later. Like, you know where you're going to end up, you know, at least. So you can just decloak there. And again, decloak. You're not getting a free evade. You're jamming them. I think it's going to be powerful.
All right. Well, let's continue looking through some of these upgrades. Will, K2, B4.
All right, this is the Tactical Relay card. Separatist only, solitary. While a friendly ship at range 0 to 3 defends, it may spend 1 calculate token. If it does, add 1 evade result unless the attacker chooses to gain 1 strain. And strain was the reduced agility until a blue move token. This is really good. this is the only tactical relay. So I think we've only seen 3, but this one actually rivals Kraken, in my opinion. 0 to 3, huge range. Calculates add evades now, so calculates our evade tokens as well.
Yep, and it's super add a result. So this isn't dependent on your dice pool. It's just here's an evade. This is only the second card in the whole game that just adds results.
C-3PO and Nora.
Yeah,
Finn adds results.
I'm talking about evade results specifically.
Okay.
Now, yes. I got a quick question. When it says solitary,
you can only have one in your squad.
One of this upgrade type in your squad.
Okay, so one solitary. So Kate, it's different to the little dot that's ahead of it that makes it a unique. Solitary means you can't have another of that little robot face.
Another tactical droid, yeah.
Correct. Yep. So no Kraken and this, which would be amazing.
Broken.
Yeah, straight broken. But I kind of like the you bring up an interesting point, Marcel, that I kind of like how each one of these tactical relays can be really strong because it's balanced. They can only ever bring one. And I think this one's super huge. It's a little bit of C-3PO meets 000.
Yep.
Which is very in the droid theme then.
Yeah, I think the difference is that this one wants to be on a low initiative ship. You know, you want to take this on an initiative one ship or something like that because you're going to get shot and then say, okay, I'm either going to evade it or I'm going to shoot you with you having basically tractored one less.
Yeah, yeah.
So this wants to be on a low agility ship. On a high agility ship, it really doesn't do much.
Yeah, it very much on
a high initiative.
It might remind me of Separatist Sloan. Like, I can spin the evade to save my ship. So if you want to kill it, you're gonna have to take that strain token, which will be a very tough choice for I think for a lot of lists. Especially if there's a whole swarm shooting back, and now you're strained at reduced agility.
Yep. you can have the evade. It's fine.
Yeah. Right. It'll be great. Like I said, I think it's up there with Kraken, so I'm excited about them.
Alrighty. Then we get the DRK 1 probe droids. Has two charges. It's for Separatists only. It is a device. And it says, during the end phase, you may spend one charge to drop one DRK-1 probe droid using a 3-speed template. This card's charge cannot be recovered. And where is the card that explains what this thing does? There it is. This is the next one. So this is it's a token. If you remember looking at the card spread for the Sith Infiltrator originally, there was this token that has what looks to be template slots in it. And that's because this thing can move. Check this out. So while a friendly ship locks an object, so there is literally a pilot card when you drop these. It's like a, if you're familiar with like magic, it's kind of like a token, right? An extra thing on the board, an extra resource.
It's a floating bomb.
A floating bomb.
It looks like a little like a hexagonal. Words are hard. Little debris floating around.
Yep. So it's at initiative 0. You get a card for it. It's at initiative 0. And it says, while a friendly ship locks an object or jams an enemy ship, it may measure range from you. So this object on the board is extending your target lock range and your jam range. And honestly, the jam range is the one that probably interests me quite a bit more, especially because jam is now only range 1. That really extends some of the possibilities there. And continuing, it says, after an enemy ship overlaps you, so overlaps that token, that ship rolls one attack die. On an eyeball result, you suffer 1 damage. This pilot actually has 1 hull and 3 agility, which means you can shoot it. You can target it and you can shoot it. Has 3 agility, so has an opportunity to natty out, but you have to waste an attack to get rid of it if you don't want it on the board. And then during the system phase, it has some ship ability text that says, system phase, after at your initiative, which is zero for these things, you may relocate, so move this the token associated with this on the board using a two-bank, two-straight, or two-bank right template. So you can move it around. That's crazy. This is a totally new concept for the game.
I love this thing so much.
Yeah, it's hard to visualize what if it's a hex that that those two banks and two forwards, that's in six different directions as well. So these things are going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of a little bit of Heroes of the Atari Cluster. Like, it's adding elements from those type of like mission-based scenarios into the game. I love the mechanic. I love what it does. And I like that you can shoot it. And I think the reason they make it so you can shoot it is so somebody doesn't pop like three of these in the first two turns and just has a big net and running around doing like long range scanner target locks.
Mm-hmm.
But
they are unique. You can only ever have two on the board.
Oh, then still even two. Like, still, if you're just floating around with two, with long range scanner locking, if you've got some ordnance. But it's so good.
Yep, and it's as of right now, this technology is only available to the Separatists. But I'm really curious to see in the future if other factions are going to have access to something like this. Now, it is important to note that it is a device on the board. It doesn't cause blocking or anything like that. You can't block with these droids. They're just there. You suffer the effects
after an enemy ship overlaps you. That ship rolls one attack die. On a mm-hmm. focus result, you suffer one damage. So, in other words, this thing blows up on a focus result.
Yep, if they crash into it and then they see it with their eyeballs.
Oh, smash okay. Into it. Yeah. I didn't read that right. Okay. Yeah,
so basically you can run over. Basically, you're squashing.
Yeah, you're running over.
Like a roach. Yeah. You step on them, and if you see it, you squash it like a roach.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so they don't cause any damage.
No. You try to run over them, which is what I was gonna say next. Is I think the secret tech on these is you need to go and find one of those big asteroids and hang out on it, so you get four agility and they have to run over an asteroid to blow you up.
Oh.
Yeah, secret tech there. Go find
them. If you can like aim it right, that would be awesome. Just have like a roaming, jam and target lock bubble. Yeah, this thing is awesome.
I like it.
I wonder if you can, just by looking at it, you should be able to blow it up by other means as well, right? Like splash.
I think a bomb is out. It depends on if bombs measure to now, ships or not.
The other question is,
because it's not technically a ship, right?
Yeah, and if this flies over a debris or a rock, does it roll for damage?
No. I would say no, because it says relocate, which is not quite moving.
It's not executing a maneuver.
Mm-mm.
I'm saying like that would need some clarity. Just
yeah, I'm interested more in like a seismic bomb going off or something. Would that hurt it? Probably. I would think a bomb would hurt this thing.
Yeah, I mean if it's able.
I mean, I don't
if it has
that. Hull. It's got hull.
Yeah,
it's got a base and it's got a base and it's got hull.
Oh, there you go.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's move on. Will, tell me about Count Dooku.
All right. Count Dooku. Second highest initiative here at 3. He's Darth Tyrannus. Has 3 force, same as Maul. If you defend, if the attacker is in your firing arc, you may spend 1 force charge to remove 1 of your blue or red tokens. Second, after you perform an attack that hits, you may spend 1 force token or force charge to perform an action. Let me break down. There's only 1 blue token. Correct me if I'm wrong, and it's cloak.
Yep.
All right. Red tokens are stress, strain, ion. Is there another red token?
No, stress and ion and strain. That's it.
Okay. So, Dooku, if he's in the scimitar, is outrageous.
Oh, well, locks. Locks are red, too.
Ah, yes. Thank you. I was like, there's definitely one more.
So, but here's the thing, right? When it says your red tokens, when you have a target lock on you, that is your token.
Right. So, yep. So you can shed a lock. But this would be after they attack you, so not as useful. But, well, to be fair, if someone attacked you and the next person's about to shoot a proton torpedo at you, you can remove that red lock. But I think as cool as all of that is, this is some old school Phantom. If you are cloaked, you have a blue token, and you someone shoots at you, you're looking at them, you have a shot back on them, you spend the first of Dooku's force to remove your blue cloak token. You're no longer cloaked, which means you can shoot. Using his other ability, after you perform an attack that hits, you could then spend his second force charge to re-cloak, taking a stress with the red cloak action from the scimitar.
And you missed one part of it. That is an amazing...
That's pretty good.
And you missed one part, though.
Oh, well, what is it?
When you de-cloak, if they're in your bullseye, they're also going to get jammed. So you can de-cloak.
No, you don't de-cloak. You just remove the cloak token.
So it doesn't count as a de-cloak when you remove?
No.
No. I don't think so.
To de-cloak, you actually have to do the movement.
Yeah. I think you can remove a blue cloak token without de-cloaking, though. Well, we'll definitely need a FAQ on Count Dooku's ability.
That would be great if you could, but I mean, it's already good as it is now. Being able to, you're going to shoot me with 3 agility. Now I'm going to choose whether I want to shoot back, and if I do, this is. And if I land, I'm going to cloak again.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see hate Dooku's out there because this guy's going to be draining force quick. I think both the force users are, but Dooku, very versatile, very very much like him. That initiative 3 is kind of sucks, but having 3 agility is pretty cool.
Yeah, you have 3 agility when you're being shot, and then you get to,
and you still get to shoot.
Yep, it's very themey, right? You got Count Dooku in his lightsaber form is very defensive, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, no, you can't hit me, and I'll almost slash you up. So I like it. Next one, the Dark Courier is just the initiative 2 generic one. Has all the things, focus, target lock, roll, nothing taken away. There is an initiative 3 unique pilot here. Go ahead and take that, Marcel.
066. It's a sinister automation. Why is that funny? 066.
Order 66.
Oh, 066, Order 66.
He's a sinister abomination. Or not abomination, automation.
Automaton.
Automaton.
What? Blah, Autobots. After you defend, you may spend 1 calculate token to perform an action. So basically, you're probably not gonna. It's initiative 3, so it depends on what you're flying against. But basically, if you don't get a focus result, if you evade naturally or blank out, then you get to use that calculate token to target lock instead, which a target lock is greater than a calculate if you're gonna attack or barrel roll. If you're going to get a second shot, maybe you can barrel roll out of range of a second shot.
And there's ways for in the Separatists, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with those Vulture droids to pass around calculates, right? Or with one of the...
No, they use each other's.
Am I thinking of one of the tactical droids?
Kraken would let 066 here hold on to a calculate kind of like old school comms relay. You can just not remove one calculate.
That's what it is. Okay.
This is pretty good. Still very good with the scimitar, being able to use that free action to cloak or jam.
Agreed.
Yeah. With all the jamming that might be happening with that, are these ships, do you think, going to have any crew
slots? They have to have crew.
Because what I'm saying is, with the title and the ability to add a jam, also with the ability to basically jam at long range distance or jam at close range with something like this, like, you know, you get shot, then you can spend the calculate to do something. I wonder if that slicer is going to be around, the one that keeps the jam.
ISB slicers are Imperial only.
They're Imperial only?
Yep.
So sad. they would do something like this.
My question for you guys, though, is, now that we see the stat lines and we know it's a large base, what is your generics pricing for these ships? Are we looking at 50 points for the generic?
I'm thinking probably enough to fit four of them, so you can buy four of them. I'm going to go back to the dollar.
I guess that's true. Are we go over or under 50?
Over.
I think you got to say 50.5. Over or under 50.5.
Okay.
Because 50 still fits four.
Over.
Are you going to fit three of these or four of these on a list?
Three of them. Well, I don't know. Let's okay. Here's something to compare it to. Okay, not quite exactly the same, but if we go to the Lancer class pursuit craft, okay, it has two arcs. It also has 10 hull, 2 agility, 3 front arc, but it also has that 2 die side arc, and the initiative 2 Shadowport Hunter is 60 points. Has a single arc. This has one less agility and only a front arc.
See, I would actually compare them to TIE Reapers.
Yeah, me too. Oh, not Reapers, because they're large base ships, right?
Reapers are medium.
Yeah, so I would compare this more to, like, let's say a Lambda Shuttle. A Lambda Shuttle's got 10 health. It has one agility. It
does have a rear arc, but can't cloak.
It cannot. Well, neither can this. If you're just
that's true.
The base, it doesn't have a barrel roll, but it does have a rear arc. So I would put these closer to like a Lambda Shuttle with a better arc. So I mean, with a better dial, probably. So I'm gonna say something like they're gonna be at like 47, 48 points. And again, so you can buy four of these big jugs, put them on a table, and then realize like, oop, next point turn they made them 57. Now I can't life for anymore. So
somebody in the chat's asking about the large base decloak. It is not a two straight. You use a one straight on its side. If you're not entirely sure how to do it, you want to get a picture of it, or, you know, like, have it illustrated to you, I did make a quick tips talking about how medium and large base, how all ships barrel roll, and included large and medium base in there. So check that out on our YouTube channel.
You cover decloaks or barrel rolls?
Both.
Okay.
But did them both.
But only one of these can cloak, though, which is unfortunate.
Truth. All right, let's get into some more cards here. We got Chancellor Palpatine. It says, set up, equip this side face up. That's because there's two sides, okay? You got Darth Sidious, Chancellor Palpatine. So really interesting. Two different names on one card that's double-sided. So pretty cool here. It says Republic or Separatists. Okay, so it can be included in either of those squads. And it says after you defend, if the attack is at range 0 to 2, you may spend 1 force. If you do, the attacker gains 1 stress token. You get 1 recurring force charge. You have purple coordinate. And it says, during the end phase, you may flip this card. So you don't have to flip the card. You don't even have to use the ability to flip the card. You can just choose to do it if you want to use the other side. But I want to focus on this Palpatine side here first. This is one of the few mechanics in the game that actually has a purposeful stressing of your enemy mechanic in it. And Will, I instantly thought of you.
Well, this is more Rebel Captive than R3A2, but I see where you're going with this. I do like it. As a note, on Maul and Dooku, you can do this up to 4 times in one round.
Yep. Because of the number of fours they have.
It's pretty good. Yep. Turns out. It's pretty good.
And then, Will, what do you think of the Darth Sidious side once you flip it?
Darth Sidious also has the Force Charge and Purple Coordinate. It says, after you perform a Purple Coordinate action, the ship you coordinated gains 1 stress token. Then it gains 1 focus token or recovers 1 Force Charge. This threw me through a loop at first because I forgot that coordinates still give actions, and I assume this purple coordinate does as well. So this is for your Force Charge and your ship's action. You give another ship a stress, or first an action, then a stress, and then a focus token or force, which is very strong. I'm thinking more of with the Jedi Starfighters. Mm-hmm. You could give one a barrel roll. Then it would be stressed. Oh, because they can't. Oh, that's right. That wouldn't work because there are things after they do a maneuver, probably to prevent this. So never mind about this. But still, two
you
actions.
You can still get them target lock focus.
Target lock focus. And for just a stress, this is pretty good.
Or you can double focus if you're going to get focus fired.
That is a good point. One of the few abilities in the game that one of the few abilities in the game that would let you double focus on one ship.
Yeah, and I like that it's Republic and Separatist, so that plays a little bit.
Yeah, I'm already thinking of a thematic clone troopers and Anakin doing some Order 66 hunting.
And it is important to note that you can't go back to Chancellor Palpatine. Once there's no going back. So
I just realized that. I never saw that. Like once you flip it, you can't unflip.
Yep.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah, and you do have to start on the Palpatine side. Now, of course, you can just like turn one, end phase, flip if you really don't care for that front side or you don't want to do it.
Okay, so for you guys, what if you put this on your ship, what would you be, which side is more appetizing for you?
I mean, the front side is a control piece, right? Like that's what you're doing. You're trying to lock down your opponent with the stress tokens. It doesn't have a limit, so you can do this to an already stressed ship in order to make it double stressed if they attack you again, knowing that you can do it to multiple times. I mean, I think they're just completely different. Like, it's a single card, and you're not allowed to have both effects in your squad at the same time, which is very smart of FFG to design it this way because they are both really powerful. But I think you could honestly build squads around either side. I don't know. Man.
Yeah, I think it's
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that Darth Sidious is going to be amazing on your support arc or like a cheap infiltrator. The Chancellor Palpatine is going to be on... for ships, who is like your ace, right? Like your Maul, to where people, it makes you second guess shooting at them to help protect them. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like I said, this Darth Sidious is trying to help out other ships to get them in the fight. So I think they're two totally different roles. I think when you build your list, I think you kind of decide which card you're going to already use.
Corn Horn or Quick Draw or Dengar's Double Tap. Like Double Tap, Double Stress.
Yeah. You don't
hey, if
do
you
that.
Got the Force. I think I don't know. They feel two different roles, but they're both crazy strong.
Yeah, yeah, one is a support role, and the other one is in your face. And Darth Maul with this, like just.
Now it is important to note that, remember, because it is a coordinate action, you can't coordinate yourself, so you will have to be on another ship. If you want to coordinate Darth Maul, you're gonna have to have another crew carrier of some kind in the list. So important to think that there.
No, let's... I was saying, putting this on Darth Maul for the other side, for the stress side.
Yeah, that works too. I was referring to the Sidious side. Love it. You can use either one. They're both great. We'll move on here. General Grievous has a single charge on it. Separatist only. It is a crew card. Marcel, tell me about this guy.
He has a heart. He has a soul. while you defend, after the neutralized result step, if there are two or more hits or crits results, you may spend the charge to cancel one hit or crit result. After a friendly ship is destroyed, recover one charge. So it's not a recharging. It doesn't recharge on its own. It basically reloads when something dies, and it's cancel damage card. I mean, you cancel one damage.
It reminds me a lot of Reinforce, which I believe applies at the same time and has the same restriction of two or more hits.
Yeah, but this only happens
just once on one attack. Yep.
It's basically a get out of jail card. But it's kind of like the Chewbacca thing, where if you have a bunch of cheap support ships dying, you know, it just makes him easier. But at that point, they're not shooting at him. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
It seems thematic.
It'll probably be cheap.
Yeah, and then it has that last line there, right? That after a friendly ship is destroyed. And the Vulture droids, we're assuming that they're going to be pretty cheap. So I guess it just depends on how many times you'd be able to use this effect versus not. Because, for instance, if somebody's just focused on the swarm and not on you, maybe you don't get to use it. But maybe it's just like, if it's cheap enough, you just have it there just in case. I like it. I think, like you said, Will, theme. Lots of theme there. We've got Count Dooku looking smug in that picture. Single force charge that is recurring. Separatist only crew card. Before a ship at range 0 to 2 rolls attack or defense dice, if all of your force are active, you may spend one force and name a result. If the roll does not contain the name result, the ship must change one die to that result. So you're manipulating your opponent's dice pool. It is important to note that first condition in the beginning, if you put this on, if you put it on Darth Maul, who has 3 force already, he has to be completely full on force, including the one on this card, because the one on this card goes to the pilot. In order to use this, this is going to probably get use on non-force pilots. That way, you basically can use it each turn if you'd like.
Yeah, they put it at a hard count or a hard cap. They could only use this once per round.
Yes, exactly. But really, a really interesting ability. I think it can be really powerful to manipulate those dice. I would like to see some math on it. Like, you know, if you're calling blank every time, because that's right, that's what you're going to call. You know, you have to really make, I think, a good choice on which rolls you try to use this on.
You can use it on friendlies. You can call out crits.
True that.
This is new school Palpatine. Get ready.
Yeah, and not only that, you can also use it kind of like sort of like a crack shot there, where when the opponent's going to roll, you say blank, and you guarantee that if they, regardless of what they roll, if there's not a blank, you're going to get a blank on there. This actually helps out a lot when rolling against like one die.
Yeah, one agility ships.
One agility ships, or works on yourself if you want to guarantee an evade. Say, evade on myself at range 0 and always get that evade in if you don't
want
that
evade. So somebody just said...
You can use it when your enemies roll over, go over rocks
no,
and debris.
No, it says attack or defense dice.
Oh, that's true. But
attacks or defense dice now, and it says roll red or green dice.
It says attack or defense dice.
But we use our attack dice to roll.
Yeah, that is interesting. You can.
We'll need a.
Yeah, if you can guarantee they roll a crit over a debris.
Right, because it would say before a ship at range 0 to 2 attacks or defense. And it doesn't say that. It just says attack dice or defense dice. I think it works.
So yeah. you could also trigger then R2-D2 crew?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Rigged cargo chute. If they have illicit, which I doubt they will, but if
no, they're not gonna have illicits.
That would be so good.
Marcel drop.
This card is basically old school Palpatine and old school C-3PO. Get out of here, Count Dooku. You're gonna be like 20 points.
Yeah, he's
gotta be so expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't actually need to use his own force charge. You just say whatever you're trying to use your force for anyways, right?
Yep. That seems really good. I think it's thematic, right? Like in the scope of most of the Star Wars universe, Count Dooku was the leader of the Separatists, not Palpatine. You know what I mean? Not Darth Sidious. So he would be the most powerful crew in the Separatist army. Makes sense to me. I like it. But yeah, that's gonna it should be expensive. It's very powerful.
You think it's gonna be in the 25 range?
I'm gonna say over 15, easily.
Well, Vader is 14,
and he's the most expensive Force user crew right now?
No. Well, Luke was crazy, but what's Luke?
Oh. Right now? Man, Luke's a gunner, though. I don't think that counts.
But he's still expensive.
I'm saying over 14. More expensive than Vader.
All right. Well, we'll just have to see. All right. So we've gotten to our list of the week. All right, gentlemen. So we have a list here. Let's go ahead and
Jar Jar.
You're already calling them a Jar Jar?
I think Jar Jar is medium in our rating system, so it's not that bad.
You didn't even give me a chance to read you their list. They're sad. All right. Got that up. Let me go ahead and read their entry here. Gotta find it. Give me a sec here. There it is. All right. So this list comes to us by way of Scott Lahini. He's one of our patrons. And it's a Han and Lando list. It says, defensively, I think it works well, but if only I could fit a turret gunner or two. But if only I could fit a turret gunner or two, this is the only way. Would be able to drop Lando trick shot and shield from Han. That's my thoughts. And give Han the gunner and a 1-point talent on Lando. Maybe discuss for list of the week. Well, we're doing that. So it looks like he wants to try to get a veteran turret gunner in here. Do you think that's what he's trying to say?
So I don't even like the veteran turret gunner on bow ties, though.
No, I don't either, because it's a little hard to set up that that double tap. But I like this list, actually. I was playing around with potentially doing something like that. I think one of the areas where is probably a better use of points, let's say, would be Leia. With turrets and with these ships in particular, we really don't have much necessity.
Well, he's got Leia there. He's got it on Lando.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like,
you really don't have much need to be K-turning or doing any of that sloop. For the most part, you really don't. I mean, you're.
Yeah, what? I'm gonna halfway agree with you. If you got rid of Leia and that shield upgrade, That's 7 points, Marcel. What would you do with 7 points?
Think that hot shot.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. I'm leaning right on that hot shot.
Say that again. To let me know what to do.
Oh, sorry. Take out the shield and Leia.
Okay.
And put a hot shot gunner on Han. Because he's shooting first.
Yeah.
And so if they, because that gives you a 200, if they give you initiative, you can actually strip their focus before for their offense.
So you shoot them and strip them before they shoot you back.
Yep, and that's still defensive, technically.
All right. Very cool tweak. I mean, that was quick, and you guys were both concise and agreed on what you wanted to switch there. So hopefully that helps you, Scott.
Yeah, I think the rest of the looks great, though.
Yeah, it looks good.
All right. Well, there you go, Scott. Hopefully you enjoy that. We're going to move on to our question of the week here. Ah, I lost my mouse. I'm trying to do too many.
Oh, and
things.
By the way, with R2-D2, just the play on that, I don't know if you guys have seen that before, is since Han gets to reroll, if you roll R2-D2 to, you know, to get the shield back and you roll a hit, and if you're close to an asteroid, you can just roll it again.
Yeah, some of the most annoying things I've faced lately was a Saw Gerrera R2-D2 Han.
Yeah, so
so he was damaging himself and getting the shield back with basically no consequence.
Yeah, because you just re-roll it again. Like, oops, I rolled a hit. Let me roll again.
Yeah, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to go ahead and get to our question of the week here. Let me go ahead and pull that up. There we go. The unanswered question of the week. So, and for both of these segments, for the list of the week and unanswered question, you can actually put submissions now on our Discord channel, on our server. We've made a separate channel that says submissions, and there's going to be a couple of different lines in there. This one's going to be podcast questions, and the other one will be lists of the week. Okay, there's no guarantee that yours will get answered, but it gives us a place to look at it, and pretty much on the day of the podcast, I'm going to look for the most up-to-date questions. So basically, you want to be dropping those questions on Mondays or Tuesdays. That's about when I'll be pulling those, so we can get one. So the unanswered question that I'm opening up our submissions here already, and we already have a few questions here. And this one is from, I'm gonna do two. Marcel, somebody in the Discord, has a specific question for you because they're upset with me that I cut you off last time. I didn't let you answer the question. So this is from Ramia. It says, at Marcel, since he didn't get to answer and wanted to, what pilot from lore would he like to see in the game? Smiley face. Like this.
Oh, my God. I probably would have had a really good answer for you last week. Now, let's see. Who would I like to see from lore? Now, is Legends considered lore, like the Old Republic?
Sure.
In that case, I'd love to see one of the Old Republic pilots. I mean, there's just so many of them. But, you know, of course, Revan comes to mind. So if I could get a little Revan in there.
Would he be flying the Ebon Hawk?
Of course.
All right.
There you go.
Just got to make sure that there's at least one other person who knows what you're talking about out there, Marcel.
And then my unanswered question of the week is here. Do you think by continuing to add factions, ships, pilots, and obstacles, etc., that the game will reach a point where there won't be any specific quote-unquote meta, where most everything will have a counter of some sort? Well, Child is his screen name on Discord. While in our experience so far in the game, we do have a huge diversity of ships, pilots, and upgrades available. And we, as gamers, we tend to, first thing is, what is the most efficient? Where's the most bang for my buck? And what happens is, once somebody finds that and is successful with that, because of our current state of the way the internet works, right? We flock to information. We figured out, all right, this is good. So, hey, look, they have a track record of success. Let me play that. And people will always kind of flock towards creating a meta by reacting to what has been successful. So I don't know if we'll ever have I don't think we'll ever have not a meta. I don't think that will ever exist. But we could be in a world where there might be a higher percentage of people who are willing to bring other things, especially if FFG is trying to create faction loyalty or people that own more people who only play in a single faction. We might start seeing more diversity just because there's, you know, somebody says, I only play Separatists. That's it. And even if the quote unquote meta is swinging the way of the rebels, that doesn't matter to a Separatist player because they're just going to bring the best thing in Separatists that they can. I think in a perfect world, we also have each of the factions completely balanced. And then that's where we'll start getting some diversity because people can choose the faction that they want by fluff, not necessarily by what is the best, and then go from there. Now, I will say that a lot of competitive players are still on the, I'm going to still buy the stuff for every faction and just play, you know, play whatever I want that is good. There's plenty of players who are still playing, who are still planning on doing that. So I think we're going to, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know how to really answer that question, but I think there will always be a meta child. Hopefully that answers your question. What do you think about that, Will?
Honestly, from looking through what we did earlier, in the list breakdowns of the top open, I think that we saw all factions, except for Scum.
It's no Scum.
Actually, now that I think about it, was there not a Scum in that top?
There was not.
22 is a couple IG, or sorry, 20, Diyun. I don't know that guy. He got 20th with the Loke Revenants, and that was the best Scum faction. So, still just at the cusp. But I thought we saw all factions represented in some degree at the high levels, and we saw all different types of lists. We had swarms, triple aces, alphas. I don't know what you'd call like an Upsilon and then like three other ships. But I think it's getting to that point. We're easing our way in that at least every faction and at least every archetype is viable currently. And I think that might be the best we've seen. And there's no large base turrets flying around. So it might actually be the best X-Wing there's ever been.
There you go. Marcel, what do you think? Did he walk away?
No, I was trying to unmute. I was looking, actually, I should be embarrassed of myself, but Luke, or somebody was just asking me, totally not Luke, about Star Wars Celebration, and I was like, what is Star Wars Celebration? So I was just Googling what Star Wars Celebration is, and it looks like all the tickets are sold out. That's sad. Well, not so sad, because I didn't even know it existed until, like, 3 minutes ago. So meta. Yeah, there will always be a meta, I think. Let me restate that. I don't think that we're going to have a meta like we did in 1.0, where the meta was a certain kind of way, and it stuck that way for a long time. And even with small tweaks, it would continue to stay that way. And I'm going, like, we went from from Jump Masters to Paratani, from Paratani to Fairship Rebels, and then from Fairship Rebels to, like, Trillium Point Mirandas. So I don't think we're going to have that. But what we will have is, as new as new factions or as new points drop, there's going to be things that automatically like bubble up to be like, oh yeah, this is good now. Good example now would be the rebel jank with Leia. Just a bunch of rebel swarm, a bunch of beef with Leia, and that's just kind of a gimme. But I do think that I think that it's going to there's going to be things that are most efficient. The current setup now, the way that is, the way that it's rolling out with so many different factions, and the point cost and all of that, the meta will never be owned by like a specific list anymore. At least not really. You know, there might be variants. There might be, you know, swarms are better now than before, but I think there's going to be enough things out there to where each faction is going to have more than one way to be competitive and make top cuts and make a splash.
There we go. So I want to remind everybody, Skippy. Oh, Skippy, our loyal droid. We're still. I'm gonna keep the Skippy upgrade card contest open one more week. We got a ton of entries. I would like a few more to get in there. If you haven't submitted, the rules will be in the description. But pretty simple. You go onto our Discord. You submit your submission in there. Just let us know what would you do with this card, and I'm gonna pick maybe like the four best, and then we're gonna do some voting, some community voting to figure out what our Skippy is going to end up doing, and we'll get them printed out, and we'll be handing them out to people as a community prize. Should be tons of fun. Now before we do all that, gentlemen, any shout outs?
I expected Marcel to have a long list here.
I'm letting you go first, buddy.
Not too much from me. I was trying to think. We were talking about the hyperspace trials. So, shout out to... I'm going to say... Johannes and Tyler Tippett, those guys, I think Will is down there as well. But the guys in Central Illinois, I think I'm most excited about Red Raccoon's hyperspace trial. Mm-hmm. They always give out great regionals in the past, but I've not yet been able to attend one. So I'm excited to get back into that trial season and heading down to... the Bloomington area.
Cool. Marcel.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to every single opponent. Again, I know I said it coming up, but every single person that I played with on over there in Toronto. As well, I wanted to just say thanks to everyone who came up and said hi, or that they listened to the cast, or just, you know, just took the time to say hello. I really, you know, it's appreciated. You know, we do this we want to play, yes, we want to win, but in reality, what makes people stick around through the hard times, and I'm going to call the hard times, you know, when you get burnt out a little bit, or when there's a specific meta that just annoys you, what makes us stick around is the people that we meet and the friendships that we make. So again, everybody that I met, that I had already met before in Canada, shout out, and everybody knew that I met, shout out again. And I'm going to send one special shout out to Alan Pang, I think that's his name, right? Alan Pang, mm-hmm. The old Canadian national winner. So he has not played a 2.0 game yet. He's one of the best players in Canada, has not took the dive into 2.0. He judged this time. Let me restate that. He helped with ARC's calls this time, because he doesn't even know the rules for 2.0 yet.
Yep.
But shout out to you, and that the shout out is saying like, get your butt back into shape and start playing. Because I need that rematch. He knocked me out of one of the Canadian Nationals.
There you go. You can't get your revenge if he's not playing, right? So you got to get him going.
There you go.
And for myself, I got a pretty good list here for this past weekend. I need to say thank you to Aaron Deiter. He opened up his home to Marcel and I. Thank you so much for letting us stay there. Absolutely huge. And he did quite well with quadruple K wings. Actually, very similar flavor to what one of our own guys, James Sanghurjo, has been playing on our league matches. We can go ahead and check those out on our YouTube page. But really powerful list that he was really enjoying flying and almost very close to going 5-1. It literally came down like to the last turn, the last die roll. Some crazy variants happened and he didn't quite get it. But thank you so much to him. Thank you to Solon and the 519th Squadron for that awesome shirt they gave me. You'll see me rocking those during the different casts. I'll be changing them out. Also, thank you to Scott and Sam Ross of Ewok Squadron for their awesome shirt. And again, I shouted out Bruno earlier of the Millennium Condor Bala Diffusion. All the stuff that we're going to be adding to our vault for giveaways. All the squadrons that hook me up with stickers, you guys are fantastic. Thank you to Brett Freeman, who came on over and was super excited to let me know that I had made the top 16. Every opponent, the judges, all the Toronto players as a whole, it was great to meet you guys. And Marcel, thank you, man, for being an awesome friend, hanging out with me in Canada, and just keeping me pumped up and just helping feed that competitive fire. And most importantly, to my absolutely perfect wife for allowing me to make one of these trips that wasn't a quote-unquote business trip. It was simply to go play because she knows I don't get to do that. And she wanted me. She said, I want you to go play because I know that you love playing and this is an opportunity for you. So thank you to her. She MVP right there. All right, guys. So I want to thank you so much for listening to episode 98 of the Gold Squadron podcast. Two more episodes, we're going to be at 100. We got to do something big. If you have a suggestion, let us know, because I have no idea what we should do for episode 100. I have no clue at all. I have no ideas. My wife was like, hey, what are you going to do for 100? And I was like, I don't know.
We're gonna have to have a – oh, man, can we just have like a party? Can we just invite everybody on?
just have a big, just like, however, whoever wants to hang out and do something. I don't
yeah, know. A party. That sounds great.
That sounds great. All right. I'll bring the chips. We'll figure something out. And again, let's remind you, this weekend we'll be streaming from Craig Cup. You can watch live on Twitch. Make sure to follow there and hit that Twitch Prime button. Every 30 days, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We got X-Wing Quick Tips, just released one about the difference between suffering damage and being damaged. They're different. Make sure you take a look there. Also, join our Discord community. It's free. Anybody can do it. But if you're a patron, make sure to connect your Patreon to Discord. That way you get your patron role and access to some of those patron-only rooms. And lastly, if you want to become a part of the largest group of supporters here, we have a Gold Squadron podcast helping us spread X-Wing and Star Wars and gaming love all around the world. You can go to patreon.com/Gold Squadron. Get that sweet, sweet swag that I am so excited to show off. Once I have it all, we'll get some nice pictures and put it out there. And again, if you're a patron and you haven't updated, please do that. And yes, even if you're a new patron, you're eligible for the bonus swag that I've been talking about that includes that frosted Poe card that I'm so excited to show off once I get it. Thank you so much for joining us. My name's Dio Morales. For Will and Marcel, Gold Squadron out.